doing the laws of Shema, we're up to in chapter 65, Samachay. Now this, the heading over here is Hanichnas Lebeis HaKnesses Umotzo Tzibur Koidim Kriya Shema. He goes into the shul and he sees that the community, the minyan, is doing reading the Shema. Oy Shehivsik B'Shas HaKriya. The other situation is that a person who interrupted during the reading of the Shema, Ubay Gimel Sifim, so we'll see exactly. There are three subsections. All right, so let's do subsection 1, Sif Aleph. So he says like this, Koro Sirugin, if he reads the Shema with interruptions, which means, the Hainu, that is, Shehizchil Likrois, he started reading, but Vehivsik, and then you interrupted, you stopped. Whether Bein Bishtika, whether you were just quiet, or Bein Bidibur, or you spoke, V'chozer V'gomro, and then you go back, and you complete it. So you read like two verses, say, you stopped, and then you continue, and you finish it. So then,
is that when you came late, or you were interrupted by someone coming?
Well, late? It would be applicable either way. The coming late is just a scenario, but then he goes and completes it. Afilu shoho kidei ligmer eskula. Even if you delayed for as long as it takes you to finish the entire Shema, yotza, you fulfilled your obligation. Sometimes in the davening, as we'll see later on, if a person interrupts, the interruption is considered, when is it considered a real interruption? If you interrupt for as long as it would take you to finish the entire thing, then it might be considered interruption. You might have to start from the beginning because it's not called you did it. But in the Shema, he says it doesn't matter. Even if you interrupted and you delayed while it took you to finish the whole Shema. Afilu im hoyo hohefsek machmas oynes. And even if the interruption was caused because you were forced into it, which means not voluntarily, sometimes when things are forced on you because you didn't do voluntarily, they are considered more of an interruption than when you're voluntarily interrupting. Because if you're voluntarily interrupting, that means that, okay, you have the option, so you're not really interrupting because you could. It's not such an interruption. But he says in all cases, even if it was an oinus, the same thing would be true v'chein b'megillah. The same thing would be true with the reading of the Megillah. If you hear it very appropriate now, right before Purim, if you read the Megillah and you interrupt and then you continue, that's fine. Ubitkiya shofar, and also by the blowing of the shofar. If you heard and you stopped and then you continue later on, that's fine. You are fulfilling your obligation. Avol b'tefila, but with regards to prayer in the Amida, im shoho, if you delay k'dei ligmer eskula, what it takes to finish the whole thing, meirosh atzayf, from the beginning to the end. So we're not counting what it would take to finish from the point that you are on to the end, but we're counting an interruption that it would take you to do from the beginning to the end, and you delay that long. Tzarich lachzer l'resh, then you have to start to the beginning. This is one opinion. However, there's those that say she'ein chiluk ben kriya shema litefilo, that there is no difference between the reading of the Shema and prayer. Ubechol makom, and in every place, im shoh machmas oynes, if you are being delayed because you are forced, in other words, you don't have the option to read. Even if you wish, if you decided, if you wanted to not to delay, you weren't able to, there's some forced interruption upon you. And we're going to learn examples. What does it mean, a forced interruption? You know, let's say somebody needs to use the facilities in the middle. That's called a forced interruption because he cannot do the prayer while he's over there. We'll see. Or various different cases. So in that case, tzarich lachzer l'roish, you would need to start in the beginning, according to this opinion, even by the Shema, imsho k'dei ligmer eskulo meroish atzoif, if he delayed as long as it would take to read the whole Shema from the beginning to the end. Now, how do we go this? We'll see in a minute. We don't look what it takes, a quick chazan, a slow, he goes by each individual. We'll see in a minute. V'loi memokim sheshoyim afsik boyad soif. But we don't go the interruption from where he is up till to the end, but rather from the beginning of the prayer all the way to the end of the prayer. U'misharin lefi akoide, and you estimate by the speed of the one who's reading, what it takes him to read the whole thing. V'loi lifnei, loi lifi, not by the majority of people. We're not going to say, well, this is what it takes most people to do the Shema. That's considered an interruption. It goes by each individual. The same thing would be true by the blessings of the Shema, which precede and go after the Shema. If in the middle of the blessing you delay, which it would take you to complete it from the beginning at the end, I guess each bracha independently, then you have to go back to the beginning. So he calls here an interruption if it's something that you are forced into it, then according to the second opinion, that would apply even to the Shema and even to the blessings of Shema, that it's considered interruption, you'd have to start over again. But if one interrupts not because he is forced to, which means, if he wished he could read, so he's not forced to, he wanted he could have continued. And he delayed willingly. And he interrupted whether he spoke or he was quiet. Afilu zman rav, even for a long time. He doesn't have to return only to the place where you stopped. So you reading the Shema, if you have the option to read and you schmooze in the middle or you delay in the middle, you don't have to start over again. You can just continue from that spot. If you were able to read, if you wanted to, it wasn't forced upon you. So we should conduct ourselves, the ruling in actuality, we should have followed this opinion. That's the main, that you should repeat if you interrupted, if you were an oinus, if it was against your will, if you were forced to it, you should interrupt, not like the first opinion, which says that would only apply to a davening and not to the other cases. Now, what does it mean, forced? What does it mean, forced? So, what does it mean that you're forced into it? So, yesh oimrim afilu oines listim oy oines achar. Some say, even if you were forced by bandits, let's say you were afraid bandits are coming, you can no longer read the Shema. Or some other forced situation. Kol shelohoye yochel likreis imrotza. I feel imrotza. If it's a situation that you could not read, even if you wanted to, you can't read, that is called forced. That's called an oinus. And then you would have to read it over again. But v'yesh oimrim she'ein echos shuv hefsek machmas oinus lachzer leroish. That when is it that we don't consider it to be an interruption, that you're interrupted against your will, that you're forced into it, so that you have to start into the beginning. It's only if you cannot read. We're talking about the person reading isn't fit. It's not because of some outside cause that you can't read it, but we're talking about if you can't read it for your own bodily situation, you can no longer. I give you an example. Goin shehischu likreis kriya shema, he starts to read the Shema, v'hischilu meiraglov shoysin abirkov, and urine was starting to run over his knees, and v'hutzuch lahafsik, and he cannot do the Shema while the urine is coming, and therefore achi yichlu till they finish. So you can't, your body is not in a situation that you can read. Oy machmas, or it happens sham mokoim einoy roi likriya. Let's say you came to a place which is no longer fit, you can't read over there. So in this case, it's not your body, but you can't read it because of the clinic. Like for example, kigoyin shekoyde mahalich, the person was reading the Shema while he was walking. The gilim of voice up to an office, and now he comes up to street, which you have the dog stuff on the floor over there, and You're not allowed to say the Shema when you have all the excrement on the floor over there. So that is the case what's considered to be forced, so that you would have to repeat the Shema. But if the person himself, he's okay, and the place is okay, but there is some other situation, some other forced thing that prevents him. As we said before, there are bandits or other things that are not allowed, and that requires him to interrupt. Even if you delayed a long time, you go to the place you interrupted, you don't have to go to the beginning. Some people don't consider it. So everybody agrees. First of all, some people say, in the first opinion, says that even if you were an oinus, you still wouldn't have to go back. Others say if you're an oinus, you're forced, you do have to go. What is an oinus? Is an oinus only your body in place? Or is that we also have two opinions? So what is the halacha? Well, linyan halacha, the Alter Rebbe concludes, yesh mishaymer, there's those that say the halacha is, shabit tefila afilu ba'oinus achar choyzer l'roish. That when we're talking about davening, so even if it was some other oinus, not a bodily or place oinus, you would still go back to the beginning. Because there's those that say, even without any oinus, you would go back to the beginning, so that if there is an interruption. And there's those that say, we actually didn't learn anything by tefillah. We learned earlier, we had two opinions about Kriya Shema, but by tefillah, by prayer, we didn't have any other opinion. By tefillah, it seemed clearly from the Alter Rebbe before that if you interrupt, you'd have to start the davening again if you're interruption. That's what it said. But it says over here, but by tefillah, we should be strict, whatever kind of an oinus it is. But he says, Imachshi Yeshemrim, Shafilu Bli Oinus Klal Chayzel Roish. I'm not sure why he's saying there's those that say that even without an oinus at all, you would have to go back, because that's what apparently that it's of thereby tefillah is also a question whether it's an oinus or not. So therefore, since even without an oinus there is an opinion that says that you have to go back, so we're going to be strict with all kinds of oinus. Avo b'kriya shema, ein tzorich lachzer l'roish, by kriya shema you don't have to go back to the beginning. Only if the person or the place is not fit, then you would have to go back. So it's a little bit strange. This is the end of the sieve. It's a little bit strange. The Alter Rebbe says, what is the halacha? So he doesn't rule. He says, yesh mishaymer. There's one that says. So, and he doesn't bring anybody else that says. So almost seems like, I mean, he doesn't really quite give a ruling over here what to do. He just says there's somebody that says, but it seems like he goes along with that opinion that says. So basically what he rules is, it would almost seem that by davening, if it's voluntarily, even though we're going to discuss mainly the laws of davening later on, he just mentioned it over here, it seems like by davening, if the person is being delayed voluntarily, without any oinus whatsoever, he just chose to take a break, he wouldn't have to start over again. He's machmir in a case, any kind of oinus by davening, he would have to start any kind of, but if he's not forced at all, he's just voluntarily. If a person takes a little break in the davening and just stops, and then it takes him a long time, and then he continues, he can continue, as long as it's not an oinus. But he says, any kind of oinus would require you to start. But in the Shema, he says, that's what it looks like, the Alter Rebbe rules, even though he quotes it as, there's some that say, but that looks like what the ruling is. Maybe he still wants to allow for, I guess, saying some that say. I'm not sure exactly, but that's what it seems to be.